Love it or leave it, live from Hollywood. I'm John Lovett, and I'm on that new Michigan produce diet. For summer, gotta tighten it up. We got a great show for you tonight, but first, let's get into it. What a week! A U.S. senator has shuffled off this mortal coil over the weekend, and twist, it wasn't the one we expected. "See, I am alive," said Mitch McConnell, bolting upright and causing the medical examiner to issue a full-body scream. Yes, South Carolina senator and secret RuPaul's Drag Race fan, Lindsey Graham, died on Saturday evening at the age of 71. It came as quite a shock, as Graham seemed like he was always in a younger man's body. I would say, get comfortable with what that was. According to Axios, a person who spoke to the senator on Saturday night urged him to seek medical attention immediately, but Graham said he would do so Sunday morning after his scheduled appearance on NBC's Meet the Press. A bitchy queen literally dying to be on television? Cannot relate. President Trump hailed Lindsey Graham as a true American patriot on Truth Social and ordered that all American flags across the country be lowered to, quote, half-mast through Saturday. Half-mast refers to the lowering of flags on naval vessels, which Lindsey would have appreciated. The man loved seamen. So, okay, Trump meant half-staff, fine. But also, and I seem to be the only person who actually cares about this, the President of the United States cannot order the flags across the country to be lowered. He does not control all of the American flags because this remains a free country. His authority extends to federal flagpoles and the masts on government ships, and that is it. Besides, this is Lindsey Graham we're talking about. He wanted the full pole. South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster appointed Graham's sister, Darlene Graham Norton, to serve out the remainder of her brother's term. And I don't know why, but it is simply not possible to hear this news about Lindsey Graham's sister being appointed to fulfill his term and not picture Lindsey Graham in a dress and a wig. Right? Like, it's an incredibly powerful image that this idea calls into all of our collective consciousness. Didn't, when you heard that Lindsey Graham's sister was going to replace Lindsey Graham, didn't you picture, almost against your will, Lindsey Graham in a kind of Barbara Bush-style dress with pearls and a kind of Bob-style, like, old-school Republican wig, right? Like, am I crazy? Like, am I alone? Did you picture that, right? No? Shut up. Anyway, here's the governor.
Lindsey took care of his little sister in years long departed. It's my honor to ask his little sister, Darlene Graham, to finish his work for him now.
So Lindsey and Darlene Graham's mother died of cancer, and soon after, their father died of a heart attack. Lindsey Graham was 22. His sister was only 13. He became her legal guardian. And, oh, I guess you don't want to be reminded that this flawed and ultimately tragic figure also contained genuine humanity, because it makes the jokes feel a little bit bad. Well, that's on you. This evil fag was a wonderful brother. He was also in the middle of running for his fifth term, and the GOP will need to hold a special election to replace him on the ballot. And his allies and opponents all agree Graham left a big hole to fill. South Carolina Congresswoman and advocate for mental health treatment by dint of her behavior, Nancy Mace, finished dead last in the primary for governor a month ago, but she's interested, posting this Godfather clip on social media.
Just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in.
Hey, babe, no one's pulling you back anywhere. I've never seen a person less pulled in my life. Go enjoy your summer. Have some fresh, uncooked vegetables. It is the season. On Monday, Trump called into Fox News to eulogize the late senator.
Now, he had one bad moment, and that was, you know, the January 6th thing when he stood up. All right, now I've had it. That's it. I can't do it anymore. And then he called me like about 40 minutes later, and he said, did I really say that? I can't believe it. And he took it back. So I give him a 99 instead of a 100.
Mr. President, this is hardly the time to drag Lindsey Graham's memory through the mud by reminding us of his failure to hang Mike Pence. And it obviously ran counter to Graham's instincts. He loved to see a man who's hung. Graham once wrote a bill to cap greenhouse gas emissions with John Kerry, and he was part of a Gang of Eight in 2013 that proposed a pathway to citizenship for undocumented immigrants. Gang of Eight was also his favorite Pornhub search. He absolutely hated Trump. There's a lot of quotes by Graham mocking Trump, but it's worth seeing Graham's full plea from December of 2015.
What is your reaction to hearing what Donald Trump says?
I'm disgusted. Well, I want to talk to the Trump supporters for a minute. I don't know who you are, and I don't know why you like this guy. I think what you like about him, he appears to be strong when the rest of us are weak. He's a very successful businessman, and he's going to make everything great. He's going to take all the problems of the world and put them in a box and make your life better. That's what he's selling. Here's what you're buying. He's a race-baiting, xenophobic, religious bigot. Because what Mr. Trump is doing, and I don't think he has a clue about anything, he's just trying to get his numbers up and get the biggest reaction he can. He's putting our soldiers and diplomats at risk. He's empowering the enemy. And this ban, if it's actually enacted, would take people who have been interpreters, who came to our side in Iraq and Afghanistan, who are under siege in their own countries, and basically becomes a death sentence for them. And you know how you make America great again? Tell Donald Trump to go to hell.
Great. And then Trump won. And Graham became among Trump's closest allies. In fact, Graham got so jealous of Trump's other best friend that he had him murdered in jail and made it look like a suicide. Graham was pretty explicit about his motivations. He wanted to keep his job, stay relevant, and he believed he could harness what he called Trump's magic for good against Trump's dark side. And now he's dead. Do we think Graham succeeded? There's a quote from him reported by The Atlantic this week. He said, "When I was first elected to the House, I looked for the they who run things, they who know how things really work, they who know what they're doing, but I couldn't find the they." He keeps looking in the Senate and the White House. "What I finally realized is that there is no they. There's only we, and we usually don't know what the fuck we're doing." What he's talking about are the adults, and on some level, I think he's talking about parents. I do. Just as there's no one once we become adults and parents ourselves who secretly know what to do, there's also no one to tell you how to be. You can give up your principles and sell your soul, and no one will stop you. No alarm will go off. No one will protect you as you become a vassal for a fraud until one day you die, and that fraud you once despised but then embraced, despite knowing in your bones that it was wrong, he gives you a number grade to sum up your entire life, says you love the outdoors and sucked at golf, briefly had a conscience, but don't worry, it didn't last, before he hangs up and continues to do exactly what he would have done had you never sold out in the first place. So RIP Lindsey Graham, I'll see you in gay hell, where the Diet Cokes are flat and the boobs are enormous. Speaking of people you might see in hell, on Sunday, Mitch McConnell's team finally provided proof that the senator is alive and, well, just alive. There's the photo. "Come on, give me more of a smile," said the photographer to the two people off camera pulling the strings attached to each side of Mitch McConnell's dead face. The photo shows the senator propped up in a hospital bed next to his wife. He's holding the Sunday Wall Street Journal sports section, a tactic borrowed from hostage videos. They had planned to upload a video as well, but the circling vultures kept swooping down, swooping into the shot. The image was accompanied by a lengthy statement that also explained his prolonged silence. He said, "You all know how folks of my generation often hesitate to share the vulnerability that comes with growing older. Even in the public eye, I feel that same instinct. I can't help it." The statement says McConnell plans to get back on the Senate floor as soon as possible. It continues, "I can't wait to catch up on the news right after I eat this delicious leafy green salad from Michigan." Speaking of needing a guilt-free reason to get a side of fries, an outbreak of a parasite that causes explosive diarrhea has led to over 4,000 cases across Michigan and Ohio alone. Let's just say the Cleveland Browns are heading to the bowl. The number of reported cases in Michigan doubled from Friday to Monday. As a result, Michigan has been downgraded from a flyover state to a fly-around state. The outbreak may even be worse than what's reported due to DOGE cuts. The CDC has lost a quarter of its workforce, and the Trump administration scaled back the system that tracks foodborne illnesses. "I warned you," said the CDC's former chief diarrhea detective. "I knew the name seemed dumb to Elon, but it was a serious job." The parasite... the chief diarrhea detective cannot get any respect in this administration. Everybody making fun of him, shoving him in a locker, putting signs on his car. The chief diarrhea detective. It's an important job. You didn't realize how important until everybody got diarrhea. The parasite isn't airborne, but spreads through food. It's been found in berries, bagged salad mix, pre-cut vegetables, fresh herbs, and it says here, that thing you just ate. Symptoms include weeks of watery diarrhea, fatigue, cramps, bloating, and other gastrointestinal issues, said Jewish Americans, and how do you know if you have it? Per the Washington Post on Tuesday, federal and state authorities are investigating Taco Bell as a vector in Michigan's outbreak. When reached for comment, the Taco Bell Chihuahua said, yo quiero saltines and Gatorade. While the link hasn't been confirmed, multiple Taco Bell locations have voluntarily removed lettuce and tomatoes from their menus. But the lettuce and tomatoes are why I go to Taco Bell, said a serial killer. Explain to Taco, who cares? Just the shit that falls out. Let's give it up, Taco Bell. Never put them back. Why are we all pretending we want the lettuce and tomato on these things? Shut up. Explain to Taco Bell spokesperson, the last thing we want is for people to associate Taco Bell with diarrhea. Speaking of problems that are airborne, on Friday, Trump's Justice Department issued subpoenas to several New York Times journalists who reported on security concerns related to Trump's new plane, which was gifted to him from Qatar. Yes, had it not been for this reporting, we would have no reason to doubt the hastily renovated used airplane given as a bribe by a corrupt emir might pose a security risk. But have they found the electronic monitoring devices, said a Qatari spy? Who said that, replied Trump, alone in the airplane's beautiful marble bathroom? According to the reports, Trump used the old Air Force One instead of his new present after the Secret Service expressed concerns that the Qatari plane lacked the advanced security features necessary to protect the president, said the Secret Service. Also, seems like a suspicious number of trap doors to include in the floor of Air Force One. Trump enlisted FBI Director Kash Patel to personally head up the investigation, with Patel canceling a trip to Chicago to see his country singer girlfriend perform. Said Trump, you can miss that, right? It's like a son's wedding or whatever. And finally, the great actor Sam Neill, known for his roles in Jurassic Park, The Hunt for Red October, and in a movie that absolutely fucked me up, Event Horizon, has passed away at age 78 in Sydney, Australia. That's weird. I haven't seen him around heaven yet, said Lindsey Graham, being dipped by his feet into a lake of lava by a giant shrieking pig monster. We've got a great show for you tonight. And we'll be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Quo. Running a business means you're always reachable until you're not. And the moment you miss that call, the text, the follow-up, a competitor is the one that picks it up. That's why today's episode is brought to you by Quo, spelled Q-U-O, the business phone system built so you never miss an opportunity. All your calls, texts, and voicemails live in one place, so anyone on your team can pick up a conversation, see the full history, and respond fast. Quo is the number one rated business phone system on G2. Trusted by over 90,000 businesses who rely on it to stay reachable and look professional every day. Set up in minutes in any device. Keep your existing number. Add teammates as you grow. No IT, no hassle. Quo's built-in AI agent handles after-hour calls, answers questions, and even books appointments so you never miss a lead, even when your team is offline. Quo integrates with the tools your team already uses like HubSpot, Zapier, Claude, and more, helping you save time, stay organized, and spend less time chasing information between systems. Money is on the line. Always say hello with Quo. Try Quo for free, plus get 20% off your first 6 months when you go to quo.com/loveit. That's quo.com/loveit. Love It or Leave It is brought to you by SelectQuote Life Insurance. You need it, but you keep putting it off because you think it's complicated or expensive or that you'll live forever. Stop telling yourself you'll handle it later and take care of it today with SelectQuote. In 15 minutes, you could have coverage that fits your life and budget. Here's what makes SelectQuote different. Their licensed insurance agent works for you, not for one insurance company. They compare options across multiple carriers to find the right coverage at the lowest price. They've been doing this for nearly 40 years and have helped over 2 million people find coverage. Even if you have health issues, they can help. High blood pressure, diabetes, heart disease. Their agents know which carriers will give you the best for your specific situation. If you're healthy, they can get you same-day coverage with no medical exam. Other brokers push policies that pay them the most. SelectQuote's agents actually shop for you. SelectQuote, they shop, you save. Get the right life insurance for you for less at selectquote.com/loveit. Go to selectquote.com/loveit today to get started. And we're back! David Wayne and Joe Latrulia will be out in just a moment. But first, I will be kicking off CrookedCon weekend with Love It or Leave It live in Washington, D.C. on Friday, November 6th at the historic Capitol Turnaround Theater. And the next day, I'll be at the all-day CrookedCon on November 7th. So come be part of CrookedCon. It's a great time. It's a great chance to hang with a bunch of people fighting to protect democracy, fighting to be part of this great community. We will have just had the election. We'll know how it ended. And get ready to go into the primaries and the presidential race to come. So get tickets for Love It or Leave It live and the all-day CrookedCon at CrookedCon.com. All right, please welcome to the stage my two celebrity hall passes, besides myself, of course. What does that mean? It's David Wayne and Joe Latrulia. Hi. Hi. Good to see you. Get in here.
Hello.
Hey,
everybody.
Hi. Thank you for coming on. So you just made a new movie, Gail Daughtry and the Celebrity Sex Pass.
Yes.
So let's start with this. Yeah. Who are your celebrity sex passes?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, boy.
That's a stumper.
That is a stumper.
I'm sorry. Has this not been asked of you?
It has. And yet
I was trying to think of a
there's never
one.
A good answer, and I'll tell you why. Because if I named an actual famous person that I actually want to have sex with, that would be very awkward and creepy.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I guess I could make a joke. But now it's too late for that, now that I've torn it apart.
I'll tell you what. I always had a crush on Daphne from Scooby-Doo, the animated Daphne.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Do you know, does anyone
that's not what
animated
everyone
is a good
to hear,
direction
but...
to go? Like, I thought Aladdin, when I was a kid, boy, Aladdin.
Right? He was
his
the guy.
His legs went all the way up.
Got abs.
Speaking of that sort of thing, do you remember the show Sid the Science Kid?
Yeah.
So there was the girl on there that wore the sweater and had the glasses, and that really gets me going, and I was very excited about that. But that was on when I was already a parent of kids who were watching it. And
so it almost seems too late.
And also, she was in nursery school, this character. But it was
terrible.
More the clothing.
Right, the look.
I should quit while I'm ahead.
Yeah, I didn't know that I didn't understand that I was gay. And so when I would see characters on TV shows growing up, I would just think I wanted to be them.
Sure.
And so then I would go to the mall and I'd go to Structure and try to recreate what Zach Morris was wearing. And, you know, a yellow T-shirt under a flannel looks so cool there in the streets of whatever that high school was. Save Bell School, the high school. But when I did it, I looked like a fucking clown.
Yeah, because you didn't go to Save Bell School.
I didn't go to Save Bell School. So we were realizing it's Gail Daughtry is a play on Dorothy Gale. This
yes.
is this whole this film is a play on Wizard of Oz.
Yes, it is.
And
but it's really it's more like its own thing. But then it just sort of becomes kind of structurally Wizard of Oz in a fun way.
They're kind of like Easter eggs about
Wizard it's like
of Oz.
A big Easter egg.
Yeah.
What I like about this movie is like the idea of the celebrity sex pass is like a funny thing people talk about.
Right.
But if it in actual life,
it's not really meant to be taken literally.
Right.
And that's what the movie's about. What if somebody suddenly both had the opportunity and the balls to actually do it? And then this guy, her fiance, actually meets and has sex with, and I'll spoil it, Jennifer Aniston in the movie. And then,
spoiler alert.
And then she's distraught and she decides she's in Hollywood on a trip. And then a psychic says to her, hey, if you find your celebrity sex pass, John Hamm, that'll even the scales and will save your relationship. And so she goes on this journey to find and have sex with John Hamm.
What? Yeah. And it's a little like, hey, what's in it for John Hamm, you know?
Right.
He's got sex. In the end, sex.
But, you know, guys love sex.
Guys love sex.
It's all about sex for guys.
Speaking for myself.
It's sex.
Oh,
guys
so great.
And sex is their favorite
especially
thing.
Especially that end. That part at the end.
Mind.
That part at the end.
Oh, my God. That's the, and
one
then,
of my favorite
right.
parts.
And then you kind of lose interest in sex for a while.
For a few minutes, yeah.
Wow, must be nice.
A few days, whatever it is.
Yeah, so you've both have been making comedies long enough that you have this fan base that's like so excited for what you're doing, and you've been making movies it's harder and harder to make a movie. Do you
True.
Find that like you have like how have you found your way to navigate this sort of evolving and like increasingly convoluted system in which fewer and fewer things are being made?
I don't have any good answer for it, but I definitely agree that especially comedy feature films, original kind of feature films, are rarer and rarer, and the studios basically gave up on them. And so all I ever do is just hope for the, you know, I write what I want to write and hope for the best.
Yeah, a lot of it is just kind of trying to make your friends laugh, getting together, trying to, you know, come up with an idea that's fun to do. And then if you kind of make your friend laugh, then maybe you'll have something worth shooting.
And as far as like the landscape goes, yeah, if it ends up, you know, the last movie I did was, it ended up on as a Netflix movie, and this one somehow got a theatrical release, which I'm thrilled about because it really should be seen in a theater, and people are loving it. But who knows, you know, and each one takes a long time, and hopefully as platforms keep changing, things will evolve, but people will always want to laugh.
So you said that you came up with the first draft of this and the concept for two more during a 7-day sprint. What's it like not having ADHD?
No, that's the opposite.
Oh, it is the ADHD.
It is the ADHD. It's because there's no other way to do it for me. Like if I've given myself a year to write a movie, it's never going to happen.
Wow.
But if we say we lock ourselves in a room 7 days, like you're doing a film shoot, 12 hours a day, there's nothing else to distract, nothing to interrupt, then we get a first draft done.
Sorkin said that he would lock himself in a room at the Four Seasons, do the Coke until it ran out, then write till the new Coke came.
Right. And that's
that was his secret? That was his secret.
That was the story of New Coke.
Yeah. That's how he walks out and he says, I think there's at least two things in this. You know,
well, he does a lot of walk and talk.
Well, what has,
right?
Sorkin ever done, really? I mean,
right. Yeah, what has Sorkin ever done?
Come on, has he ever really achieved
much?
Name
one.
Name three things. Name seven movies.
Name 20 movies that he did well. Can only name 15.
How did you get Jennifer Aniston and John Hamm on board?
Well, we were just lucky enough to have crossed paths with them at different points over the years. And, we're so great and funny. And...
people are dying to work with us.
But we just basically said, do you want to do this riff on your own, playing yourself in a weird, funny way? And they were incredibly game, as were many other celebrities that are in this movie.
So it's also about to be the 25th anniversary of Wet Hot American Summer. Is there any plans for the anniversary?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're doing a show out here August 8th, I think, right?
There's a big outdoor screening and a concert with we have this middle-aged dad jam band, and we're doing, and there's going to be the cast panel, but then there's also Focus Features is doing a re-release. They're putting it in theaters all over the country on August 14th, and it's going to be in something like 800 theaters at least, and the original movie when it first came out was in 2 theaters at first, and it expanded to like 10. So this is very exciting.
What was
it? It's a step up.
Yeah, that's more by a lot.
That is more
by a lot.
Math-wise.
What was your experience of the movie kind of being small, having this small release, and like slowly becoming a cult classic? Like, when did it start to feel like, wow, we did it? Like, yeah, like it didn't, you know, people didn't maybe know about it or it wasn't as big as we hoped it would be, but it became one of those movies that like had purchase.
My memory of it, of when it caught on, was when it was released on DVD, and I don't even know if it was on Blu-ray, but the DVD seemed to float around colleges and college dorm rooms and all of a sudden it was this like cult film, which was really nice to see, because at first it was not that.
No, it was incredible. It was, we made this movie for very little, did nothing when it essentially wasn't released, and then so you move on, and that's like most indie movies, and then 2-3 years in, people are like, the buzz starts building. There are these midnight screenings, people are dressing up and lining up around the block, and then little by little, over the years, by the time we did this sequel series on Netflix, it was like this, you know, unanimously heralded cult classic. We're like, oh, I guess it is. It's crazy. It's amazing.
That's cool. Do you think that's going to happen to my failed TV show?
Yes.
It's going to happen. It's bound to happen.
Hell yeah.
That's what I'm hearing.
It's taking a long time. It's taking longer.
You need patience.
It's been 12 years, and right now, I think you can only get a DVD if you pay to print one. Is that a bad sign, you think?
No.
If you're in Region B or something?
Yeah, you got to get it printed for yourself. But you can customize it, so that's kind of cool. But I think that's true of any video.
I'm going to order
any video.
I'd order it.
Custom printed DVD of your old show.
Well, thanks for saying that. Now, David, you were not initially excited about your first summer camp experience.
True. I went to this place called Camp Moden in Maine, and my first summer, my parents came halfway through, and I begged them, crying, to take me home. And they said, no, you need to stick it out. And I'm so glad they did, because not only did I have an incredible many years at summer camp, but I made my whole career out of it as well.
Wow, yeah, so it was good for commerce. You couldn't have known that at the time. Joe, did you have a good or bad camp experience?
I didn't go to the overnight camps. I grew up, I was born in New York, but grew up down in South Florida. And I went to a sea camp, which was the only overnight camp I went to. It was just a weekend. And they said, hey, we're going to go to this lagoon. And there's going to be some very small little lemon sharks, little nurse sharks, no more than a foot or so. And they were right. But they didn't tell me that there was also swarms of Cassiopeia jellyfish that were also in the lagoon.
Sounds like an utter nightmare.
It was an utter nightmare. But luckily, you know, they said it doesn't hurt too much, but they were wrong. It did hurt. It did hurt.
I would downgrade it from C camp to D minus camp.
Hey. Huh. That's
got
the type of stuff.
Got him.
That's the type of stuff.
You're nailed. Got him.
But anyway, yeah.
Speaking of camp season, so there's a kismet to your being here, because it is the anniversary of Wet Hot American Summer. The kids are in summer camp. And coincidentally, my sister sent me a series of letters that my nephew had sent from camp. Okay. And I'll just read one example. These are real letters. I'm going to read them. I have permission.
From your nephew.
From my nephew to his parents.
Your sister.
To his parents, his sister, his mother. You get it.
Yeah.
First letter begins, everything we did so far was not very good. The meals are bad. Staff are not that good. Have done nothing fun. Went to sleep very late because nobody would stop talking. 12 a.m. Oh, cried a little today too. Are you picking me up today, Monday? If not, come pick me up as soon as possible. Tomorrow, Wednesday, before lunch, please. I hate camp. Let me know when you are coming. Love, Bennett.
Oh, God.
Oh,
poor Bennett. And yet I can relate. I understand.
Can I ask, is that like a week in, a couple days in? Or do you know?
I believe this was day one.
Yeah.
That was a day one missive. Now, then there were reports that he was having a nice time at camp.
Plot thickens.
We'll just jump to the final letter. And it reads, I hate it here. Nothing is fun. Come pick me up from this prison now, please. I am done giving it a chance. I am done being positive. Please tell me when you are picking me up. Day, time, Monday. I do not want to wait until visiting day for you to pick me up. Please, Monday. Text the person you are talking to make sure I am okay. I'm on the brink of finding my own way out of this prison.
Oh, my God.
Come pick me up as soon as possible. I'm miserable, having no fun, and really want to leave. Come pick me up, please.
Wow.
So here's a question. What did my sister do, and what would you do? Which is why it's time for a segment we're calling, Should This Miserable Child Suck It Up?
Okay.
I would say, after the first letter, 100% suck it up.
First letter, first day, let it ride.
Like, I would agree with that.
They're all, half the kids are writing that letter after the first day. Second letter, more complicated.
Second letter, I still think he's got to suck it up.
Wow.
He wants to escape, but I think adversity is good. How old is
Ben? He's 11.
Yeah. All right. So I have a 10-year-old, and you know he didn't want to go to a camp because he had a scratch on his knee, and it was just a scratch. And I said we have to go. I've got things to do, like you know scroll and stuff. And so he ended up going, and I think
scrolling.
It helped.
The summer to scroll.
That's right.
So you went. Sorry, you picked him.
No. He went. I dropped him off the camp. He went, and he was okay. How was it? And he's like, it was fine. The scratch didn't hurt. And I said, of course, it didn't hurt.
Perhaps the scratch was some kind of an excuse to say he didn't really want to go because he was a bit scared. Perhaps. I don't want to impute anything.
He was feeling a little lazy. But that's what I'm saying.
Scared maybe, and lazy.
Maybe
also, I live in that space.
You have to remember, still, no matter how bad it is, it's still a place that your parents are paying for you to go and have like leisure activities. It's
right.
It can't be, I mean, it can be bad. It can be terrible, but I don't know.
So here's another story. This is from Hallie, our head writer. One weekend at Brownie Camp, which is the Brownie is the Girl Scout level for third grade, for those that don't know, a friend of mine and I had to take a flashlight out into the woods at the dead of night to the terrifying, gross, unlit porta potty style outhouse. My friend went first, opened the door, stepped inside, was silent, and then turned around and said, "I can't find the toilet." I laughed so hard I peed my pants, and everyone found out about it when I had to get a plastic bag from our troop leader for my pee pants.
That's a great story, but I would say also a classic. That's not a leave camp story.
No, you got to stay.
I think that's right. You know, I just remembered, I went to a place called the Country School with Craig Wedren when I was 10 or something, and it was a farm Amish camp, and it was awful. And you did, there was no electricity, and you had to bathe at the end of the week in 4 inches of dirty water that everyone else bathed in, and you just shoveled poop all day, and I hated every second of it. But I didn't even think to ask to go home.
It wasn't that's a work camp or any type of labor camp that you accidentally.
Was it for dissidents?
it was like to have the Amish experience. Oh. But we found out it was a fake Amish family that was in the trailer at night watching TV and stuff. It was crazy.
Honestly, that I respect that so much. I think that's awesome. They're selling the candles you're making. What a racket.
Right.
All right, next up we have Jay, also on the Love It or Leave It team. He says, when I was 11 or 12, I went to Boy Scout camp and didn't poop for a full week due to terrible anxiety. I was a little gay boy who hated being in the woods. I called home collect every day crying. At first, they would encourage me. This is a new experience. You'll be fine. But eventually, they would answer and say, we're not picking you up, really quickly, so it wouldn't charge them for a collect call. That is so funny. Later, I found out my mom, dad, and stepmom had met to discuss letting me come home, but decided I needed to stay and tough it out. Were they right to let this miserable child suck it up?
I just was explaining to my son, who's at camp this summer, what a collect call is. Anyway, this guy. Stick it out.
Yeah, he's got to stick it out.
Stick it out.
And finally, this is from Amy in Dallas from the Friend of the Pod Discord.
Mm.
I was electrocuted in the shower when I was at church camp in Texas in the 70s.
Right, this is the kind of shit.
There was a short in the water pump, and they told us to get out of the showers immediately. Being the daughter of a rabid environmentalist, I had to turn the water off first. Big mistake. Next thing I knew, I was being electrocuted, and my hands were stuck to the metal handle. AC, that's dangerous. That's no good. You want to get fired off like from Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Right.
You don't get attached to it.
Mm-mm.
That's bad.
It's real bad.
Fortunately, a counselor wrapped a towel around my waist and pulled me off.
Oof.
Oh.
I wasn't permanently injured, but I was freaked out and wanted to go home. But for some reason, they wouldn't even let me call home, let alone go home. Needless to say, I stayed dirty the rest of the camp.
Well, staying dirty, that's a class. I never showered.
This deserves camp, like, you know, Navy SEAL 6. Get her out of there. Get in there. Rescue her.
Danger.
Yeah, that's.
This is danger. Yeah. You know, this is different.
Yeah.
The only caveat I'll say is I've heard stories like this, and then somebody else who was there was like, actually, it was nothing like what she did. Like, there was, she said electrocuted, but she really just, like, you know, bumped her head for a second or something. Yeah.
I believe
just
women.
A great physical comedian. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Thank you, David and Joe. Catch Gail Daughtry in the Celebrity Sex Fest in theaters now. Go to davidwayne.com for tickets to the Middle-Aged Dad Jam Band Tour. Also, L.A., get tickets to the special Wet Hot American Summer 25th reunion screening at streetfoodcinema.com, and we'll be right back.
Yeah.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. While the stigma around mental health is fading, asking for help can feel daunting. New data from BetterHelp confirms it. BetterHelp's 2026 State of Stigma Report surveyed 2,000 Americans and revealed that 85% of Americans believe getting support is wise, yet 74% say society discourages people from doing so. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally, and it works. With an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session based on over 1.7 million client reviews. BetterHelp's therapists work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the U.S. BetterHelp does the initial matching work for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps identify your needs and preferences, and their 12 plus years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right the first time. If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from their tailored recs. Don't let stigma stand in the way of support. Start therapy with BetterHelp. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com/loveit. That's better, HELP.com/loveit.
Quick question. Are you politically engaged and spiritually exhausted?
If you said yes to both, welcome home. I'm Erin Ryan.
And I'm Alyssa Mastromonaco. And we're the hosts of Hysteria, the podcast for women who care about democracy, culture, and not losing their minds in the process.
We break down the news, call out the nonsense, and spotlight the women actually fighting back on Capitol Hill, in classrooms, and everywhere the stakes are high.
It's sharp, honest analysis featuring women's voices with humor and zero hand-holding.
Listen to Hysteria wherever you get your podcasts and watch full episodes on YouTube.
And we're back! Please welcome to the stage. She's been in more comedies than you could shake a stick at. It's Rachel Harris! Hi, welcome. Come on in. Hi, Rachel.
Hi.
Welcome. So nice to have you.
Thanks for having me.
It's nice to see you. This rug's a mess. I'm sorry.
But I just like that you're like just frogging it up there.
Yeah, I like to get up. I like to get high. I like to move around.
That's, yeah. No,
that's
no, no. Don't
happened.
Change.
You it's
don't,
never
you
happened.
Change the way
but so
sitting.
You and Joe coincidentally just were in a show together, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we were debating whether or not we were able to talk about it. We've decided we mostly can. And so it was Star Trek.
Yes.
You're in Star Trek together.
Yeah, we did Star Trek Strange New Worlds.
And I understand that you're on Star Trek, which must be stressful just because it's a lot of lingo.
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden, and you showed up.
Yeah.
And you did not, it was a different scene than you expected.
Yeah.
So what happened?
Yeah, it was the first day of shooting and... Joe and I gratefully were in the scene together, but I got to set and I looked at the call sheet and the scenes are very similar. Like some of them,
yeah.
Like we kind of do the same thing, but different. And so I just prepared the wrong scene and I had a thought for a moment that I thought, oh my God, I didn't prepare the right scene. And the one that I did prepare had a ton of like cool Star Trek lingo in it. That is not, I'm not used to speaking Trek.
Right.
You know, so I had a moment where I thought, I'm just going to pretend that I know which scene I'm doing and try to learn it really quickly. And I realized that was not going to be a good idea.
And because of all the lingo, it's very specific. You have to know where the phasers are set to and where the power's going and where the shields are, the percentages.
But she crushed it.
It was crazy. Aww.
But you crushed it.
He's very sweet. But
I can't wait to see it.
The one thing that I'll say, you would get... Buckle up. The one thing I was going to say was that it's nice having worked a lot because David and I have done films together as well. And it's really great to have the great thing about having Joe there was that I knew like that I could be honest. And so I just simply said to the first AD and to the director, I said, I didn't prepare the right scene. And they were I was so glad I did because they said, well, we'll move the day around. And we'll give you some more time to learn it. And then Joe, who was in scene with me, was so great and just sat there and ran it. But it was also great because he would be like, I'd be shitting my pants right now too. You know? So it was...
You know what though? This is a lesson that if you just ask for help sometimes, people want to be nice. You know, we're not all out to get each other.
They weren't angry, but that's true. I think that's on a bigger...
Well,
scale.
Macro level.
Yeah, thank you.
I feel like this
Thanks,
is Love It or Leave It. We want to talk about big things.
Yeah, we got to talk about big things. So you've been in 3 Christopher Guest movies. You're in Best in Show, A Mighty Wind, and For Your Consideration.
Mm-hmm.
How is preparing for those movies different than, say, preparing a lot of jargon for Star Trek?
Oh, well, just that. And I mean, like, just like the memorization of the scenes is that's the hardest part for me. But the difference, though, with doing a film where you're improvising is you have the bullet points, but then the pressure is always on you to be funny. And the curse of death is trying to be funny, right? So you just have to come prepared, know what your point of view is, and then hope for the best and just listen and respond honestly in character. And I mean, I love it. It's just, you know, you just have to listen and...
But I mean, also, you are uniquely one of the greats at that. Like, not everybody can do that.
Well, that's very sweet. And he's right.
No, he's right, 100%. he's totally right.
No.
Are there people that have been, like intimidating to do those kinds of scenes with people that, or that like you felt like nervous about because they were such legends, or who, and then like, what was that like?
Oh yeah. No, I remember doing, For Your Consideration. Every time I say it, I get choked up. Getting to work with Catherine O'Hara was so amazing. She was just so kind and everything you'd want her to be. And we shared a dressing room, and there was like an accordion door that we could have closed. It was like, first of all, we didn't really have dressing rooms. We had like honey wagons, and then we all hung out in one big green room. But I was never nervous with Catherine, though. Catherine was always like, you know exactly what you're doing, and it'll be fun. And but the one person, when Ricky Gervais was just first coming up, he was in For Your Consideration, and I remember just wanting to like say one line to him in like a big group scene, and I couldn't.
Why?
Because I loved him in The Office so much, and I just thought it was, I love British humor so much, and that form of comedy, I think it's so, you know, underplayed and fantastic, and I just, that was, you, I mean, you asked if there's someone that I was feeling a little insecure around, and he was a big one. And then we did a film together. We did Night at the Museum together, and became really good friends. And that was really lovely.
I was going to make a joke about how, and you know, like Joe, he's famously nice. Ricky Gervais.
Yeah. Yeah, like Joe Lertruglio.
They're kind of like sort of you're the kind of American Ricky Gervais, sort of personality wise. Culturally, personality wise, that's the niche.
That's my niche.
Like
nice guy.
Kind of same kind of energy. But, yeah. Two nice guys.
But I also think when you're working with your peers, you also want to make your peers laugh. You know, you want to be funny and effortless and David's directed me in Party Down. Do you remember you directed that?
That was really great.
Yeah, and he was so wonderful in that. But also, that was like, whenever you're coming on to like a set and you aren't a regular on the show, but you're a guest on the show, that's, I think, when it's kind of scary, when you want to do really well. And it's nice that, you know, people like David and Joe and everybody are, you know, it's really fun when you have like friends that you get to work with.
When you're doing Star Trek, do they make you say it exactly as it is on the page?
They were pretty tight.
They were pretty tight.
They were pretty tight with. They weren't Aaron Sorkin.
Another Aaron Sorkin. It wasn't Arthur Miller, but you know, it just
Shonda
was like
Rhimes.
Right. But it was.
You could put some handles on there. You could be like,
but
you can't really. Yeah. No words.
We did a lot of gesticulating.
Yeah,
you know, like, that's right. But with the scene in particular that I didn't know that I was struggling with my lines. I really didn't know my lines, and Ethan Peck plays Spock, and he's so, you know, emotionless.
What, did they fire Leonard Nimoy?
They went with somebody younger, Hollywood. This fucking town. This is this town.
They did, but he felt so bad because every time I would fuck up, remember, he was so stoic.
Yes.
And he would say, I'm so sorry, I can't. Like, we'd break, and he'd go, I'm so sorry, you're dying. He's like, I can't give you, like, any emotion to, like, look at you and be like,
because
I know.
Of the character.
Yeah.
Because of the character, yeah.
Like, so
you should say, you're half human.
The whole, give me half of what you got.
Sorry, Spock famously is a roiling cauldron of deep and enormous
true.
Emotion right. just
yes.
beneath the frozen
exterior.
It's a deep conflict inside of the character, as you tell him that. You were also on The Daily Show.
I was.
And famously, Stephen Colbert said that one aspect of being a correspondent of The Daily Show is leaving your soul behind.
Yeah.
Did you do that?
Yeah. 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 It was hard because I grew up in Ohio. And The Daily Show then was like, it wasn't as, I want to say, because it was early 2000s, it wasn't as, like, the two political parties weren't as polarizing. George W. Bush was in office. It seemed...
Beloved.
Beloved. Beloved. It just wasn't as, I mean, well, it's, I remember I was flying across the country on assignment doing a field piece when they started the war. Mm. And they were like, you're in the air. And they've just started a war. And it was kind of scary.
Yeah, then things got tense.
Things got real tense. But they weren't necessarily going after, it wasn't Republicans that they were going after. Or they were, it was more just like people that were people that were very self-righteous, and we were calling them out, you know, taking the piss out of that. And I loved doing it, but at the same time, sometimes people just didn't really understand what we were doing, and I felt terrible, like it was like leading them into a trap. And I famously, once I finished, when I left the Daily Show, I went to do Starsky and Hutch, and I was so excited to be in this Ben Stiller, Owen Wilson movie, and I'd just come off the Daily Show, and there was a really famous actor sitting in the makeup chair next to me, and I said, oh yeah, I just came off the Daily Show, and he goes, yeah, I used to like the Daily Show. I think their humor is really mean. And I was like, what? Huh? He goes, yeah, it's really, really self-righteous and mean. And I was so proud to have been on The Daily Show. And he goes, yeah, I didn't like it. I don't like it now that Jon Stewart's the host. And Jon had only been the host for, I'm not kidding, maybe like a year.
It's so rare to meet the like Craig Kilborn diehards.
It was.
Early, you know, it's like,
it was a Craig Kilborn diehard.
You know, I was a correspondent on the Craig Kilborn pre-Jon Stewart.
Were you really?
But it was where they were still figuring out the format, and I was doing like funny fake segments from Maplewood, New Jersey, the Maplewood Minute, as if it was like Hollywood.
Because I was such a nerd. I watched the whole thing. Like when I was in high school, I watched the Craig Kilborn Daily Show, and it would re-air during the day the next day, I believe, on Comedy Central, and I would watch it. And then I remember I was upset when it was going to be switching to Jon Stewart. I had no ill thoughts about Jon Stewart. I just really liked Craig Kilborn.
Right.
And then I remember the first episode of the Jon Stewart Show where they retired the Fire 5 questions at the end, 4, 3, 2, 1, because that left and went with Craig Kilborn to the other when he went to CBS, I believe.
Yeah.
Huh.
That was a really low. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but I loved my time on The Daily Show. It was so fun because it was obviously John. and my audition for that, I don't want to like hijack everything, but my audition for that was, you know, the Daily Show's heavily scripted, you know, and when you do your correspondence piece. But I didn't know that when I auditioned because I was coming from an improv background. So I thought, oh, I've got to make this mine. And so I rewrote everything, like in my voice. And at the end of it, John, I finished my audition and I could hear Jon Stewart going, well, she's fired. And I was like, oh, thanks so much. Bye-bye. And then they called and they said I had the job.
So it turned out you did do the right thing.
Yeah. I did do the right thing.
Nobody can out Rachel Harris.
We'll be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Quince. Summer days are always a little more relaxed, so when I open my closet, I find myself reaching for the same comfortable go-anywhere clothes again and again. That's why I keep coming back to Quince. They focus on well-made essentials that naturally become those everyday staples you'll live in all season long. Quince's 100% European linen pants and shirts are breathable, easy to throw on, and the summer upgrade your rotation needs starting at just $34. Their tees are so soft you'll never want to take them off, and the lightweight cotton sweaters are exactly what you want when summer nights cool down. Everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They work directly with ethical factories and cut out the middlemen, so you're paying for exceptional quality, not a brand markup. We love Quince. I have great sweats from there, sheets from there, sweaters from there, polos from there. They have great bags. Just a great company. Make your summer wardrobe easier. Go to quince.com/loveit for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/loveit for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/loveit.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
In moments like these, it's easy to feel overwhelmed and even easier to feel powerless. But we are neither. I'm Stacey Abrams, and on my podcast, Assembly Required, I take on each executive action, legislative battle, and breaking news moment by asking 3 questions. What's really happening? What can we do about it? And how do we keep going together? This is a space for clarity, strategy, and hope rooted in action, not denial. New episodes of Assembly Required drop Tuesdays. Tune in wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube.
And we're back. It's time to take out a Love or Leave It classic. That's right. It's time for the rant wheel.
Oh,
here's how it works. We're going to spin the wheel. Okay. It'll land on one of our four faces, and that person has 1 minute on the clock to rant against that person, place, or thing of their choosing. Are you ready?
Oh, boy.
I don't know.
I can give you one of my options if you want.
People who are different than you.
Okay.
Yeah,
here we just
Joe,
jump
go.
Right in.
Jump right in, Joe.
Listen. I think AMC Theaters promos with Nicole Kidman.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
We've seen them a lot, all right? I know why I go to the movies. It's for the magic, sure. Yes, it's to laugh and to cry. Sure, I know the indescribable feeling when the lights dim. But we're done with it. Now it's like a Rocky Horror Picture Show. And again, let me just add, I love Nicole Kidman. This has nothing to do with Nicole Kidman.
Great actress.
And has nothing to do with AMC theaters that are supporting our movie.
She's in every single movie.
It's just a matter of, like, let's rotate people. This isn't a pop hit. Let's move it along. We get it.
I mean, that's so important. And I'm glad you took a moment inside of that.
I still got to go. All right, well, look. Listen. Also, they open with it in the rain, you know? Like, as if we only go to the movies when it's raining. Come on, guys. We go to the movies because we love the movies. It doesn't matter about the weather. Get in there and go see a perfect story because you can.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Beautifully said. I appreciated how midway through you took a moment to make sure you complimented Nicole Kidman so that she would turn the key and close the box with the red button on it.
Yes.
So you're safe again. That was beautiful, and I agree. I liked it. They did shorten it. There's a cut down version.
Well, they
now.
Keep. They do different. It is. I agree that it's as if they've only could shoot one promo for 10 years.
Right.
And they have to keep cutting it up in different ways, and it's like they could do it.
They want to amortize. Maybe it's a big payday. They want to kind of spread it out. Maybe.
Well, they
know
it was like a meme and a zeitgeist.
Yeah, and that's a lightning in a bottle thing. You know, you're not gonna. You know, the next one is like, I don't know who it's going to be walking down the stairs, but it's like a kind of, nobody wants that. That's a tough job. You know, like,
I'll do it.
Yeah, you know
I'll
what Joe's
it.
In?
Well, I wonder how much.
I'll do it.
They said they're looking for a Ricky Gervais type.
I wonder how much they offered her to do another one.
Yeah, and
probably
what was it? Somehow heartbreak seems what in here? Seems less harmful, or what is it?
Seems.
Heartbreak seems
heartbreaks.
Good. Heartbreak
good in
feels
a place
good
like
in
this.
A place like this. Heartbreak feels
is that what it is?
But also, I wonder if she was asking her reps, like did I give them permission to use that forever? Like, I thought that was like for during the pandemic for like a few weeks they would run that.
And also, heartbreak never feels good anywhere.
It does
Thank
in a place
you.
Like this.
Yeah, you're right.
Thank you.
You're right. It's heartbreak. It hurts.
It's called heartbreaking for a reason, right?
Let's spin it again.
Let's spin it.
Rachel, what's something you'd like to rant about?
Okay, I would like to, and kind of keeping on theme, I guess, because he just talked about theaters, I would like to rant about the fact that film, we all like to go to see films, right? Mm-hmm. But what I think we're tired of is seeing the exact same actors in every single big film, right? And I think... I didn't realize that was going to get an applause break, but for me, and the example I use all the time... is that The Hangover, this film that I did with, at the time, people didn't really know. The biggest actor in the film, I think, was Jeffrey,
Epstein.
I love that,
Jeffrey Epstein.
No, Jeffrey Tambor, he was one of the biggest actors in it, and it was a little-known Ed Helms, a little-known Zach Galifianakis, and Bradley Cooper. And I think that's what made that film so great, was that nobody really knew those guys. They took a risk on them. We liked going on the journey with them because we hadn't seen them so much before. And my time's up.
I think it's... Well, I feel that way often when they'll announce some like new animated movie and you'll see the cast. You'll be like, what? Why do you need super hot people for this?
Right.
Is it are things not easy enough for the hottest human beings in the history of humankind?
And the richest.
The richest, hottest
That's
people
say, yeah.
in our community.
Yeah.
They're also getting the voice actor work. Like, why? Like, is there any... It's all, by the way, it's like evidence. It's like, it's so they can do the promotion cycle for the thing. But it's like, what about the voice actors that have those great voice actor voices? You know? Like, I don't need Jason Momoa to be Flounder in The Little Mermaid. You know what I mean?
I
doesn't
totally
do anything
agree.
For me. Jason Momoa is Flounder. Why? Come on. Let's spin it again.
kind of 50-50 going to be me. Oh, my goodness. My thing is when people, I don't think people should come up to you at a social event and say, do you know who I am? Do you remember me? It bothers me so much because there's, what are you going to get out of it? Because if I don't know who you are, then it's just awkward for both of us. We both feel bad. So what's the point? And I personally feel like people should just wear name tags always. That should be mandated.
I agree.
With your name and bullet points about who you are. But at least, it's short of that, at least you go up to somebody, it's anywhere, unless it's your spouse, you should just be like, hey, David Wayne, I'm a filmmaker. We met at the guy at Joe's house and we were talking about bagels and we had a fun time. That it was like a year ago. And then before I even had a chance to speak, now, and when I say, do you remember me? Like, of course I do. And whether it's true or not, everybody's happy.
That's right. Well, I find that, like, there's the, like, sometimes you'll say, like, you'll introduce yourself and they'll say, we've met. And it's like, okay, fine. But, like, I'm just,
and
I,
fuck
maybe,
you.
Maybe I recognize, like, maybe I thought we met. Maybe I'm not sure if you remembered me.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's not insulting to introduce someone to someone that you've already met.
And also, like, all of our brains are fried. Everyone is distracted. And a lot of people are bad with names and faces, like myself. So just give them a break.
We're all hurtling through on a rock through space. Give us a break.
Just remind.
You know, we've made out. We're doing pretty well.
Lindsey Graham is dead.
Yeah.
Nothing is promised. Let's spin it again.
I wonder who it'll be.
I wonder who.
I hope it's me again.
It has landed on me, and interestingly enough, my new headshot. All right. Okay. My rant is about swastikas in the wild.
Sure.
So I went to an incredible restaurant. One of the best restaurants in Los Angeles is called Bistro Na. It's in the San Gabriel Valley. If you call a weekend ahead, you can get a Peking duck. And it's amazing food. I've been before, some of the best Chinese food you will ever get. But we're sitting at the table, and then we notice that there's this trim throughout the restaurant. Can we zoom in? Can you see that in the trim? I didn't take a photo while I was there, so these are from Yelp. There are these swastikas everywhere, on every wall in the restaurant, and it's just on the line. I think it's on the wrong side of the line, but it's just on the line of like, did you know? What the fuck? Come on, are we catching this? You see what I mean? Once you see it, That's all you're seeing. And then all of a sudden, okay, you're at a restaurant with your parents on the last day of the visit, and now the topic of anti-Semitism is on the table, and it's going to be a tough fucking dinner. Because then it's about Bernie Sanders hating the Jews, and it's like, what? All right, that's the rant wheel. We'll be right back. And we're back.
Wow.
And now it's time to close out the show with a segment we call Second Thoughts. Here's how it works. I thought this went great, but my producers have handed me a list of things they wish I hadn't said or done. First regret, too many Lindsey Graham gay jokes are not enough. It's kind of our last chance. Oh, I didn't even think of that. These were our last ones.
Well, people still make Reagan jokes.
Yeah, right.
I mean, not very successful people.
Right, like if like 6 months from now, I'm like, boy, Lindsey Graham, boy, he loved guzzling cum, huh? Like,
yes.
It's not going to play as well, I don't think.
It won't work as well.
Yeah, I don't think it'll work as well.
Just that on its own killed.
Yeah. I did the Taco Bell Chihuahua's accent, kind of. We talked about it, and we felt legally I could get away with, I had to say Yo Quiero with the accent. If I said Yo Quiero, Gatorade, and saltines, that's not funny. But if I had to say that Yo Quiero, I did that, then I could just say Gatorade and saltines. I felt like we were in the clear. I think we were okay, sort of, you know, with the internet, I think. We'll see what happens. I'm not loving the reaction.
Well, I would get canceled because I thought it was very funny.
Yeah, I did too.
Great.
I'll
take the side of was very offended.
Yeah. Okay, thank you for holding me accountable. I laughed harder than the audience at the joke about the Qatari spy being heard in Trump's bathroom. That worked for me, and that's okay.
I love how your producers are sitting there thinking of things that you did wrong.
So one thing that the producers believe that David and Joe did wrong is that you need to have a better ready answer for celebrity sex pets.
It's so funny. We have been asked that 300 times.
I know. And as the words were leaving my mouth, I'm like, John, shut the fuck up.
What are you doing?
It's a fair question.
Yes, yes.
It's a fair question.
But why? How, why am I? Why am I here? Why am I here in the slot bucket?
Oh yeah, but I was like, that's creepy too. I was like, who would have been? But
I have answered that several times in during our press tour with the answer Ed Koch.
That's good. See, that's good, Ed Koch.
And I could have just done that again.
I had a.
So I have regrets.
Okay. Let's see. I tried to shoehorn my failed sitcom into the wet, hot American summer conversation.
I was supportive of that.
I was supportive of that, too.
Any second thoughts you'd like to add?
I stand by my words.
Wow.
Brave.
Yeah.
Brave, given what you've said. Given the thing you, the one thing you said that you're not even remembering, that
I know,
is fucking
that I blacked
crazy
out on.
Just from your, you just sort of a blind spot, and you said it. I said blind spot, ableist. So now I'm done.
Well, I guess I'm going to have a little surprise on the review.
Mm. And then, and yeah, so I think we're good. Yeah. I think we're good.
David, nothing?
I feel great about everything that's happened tonight.
Same.
And I think this has been a great audience, by the way.
Agreed.
Maybe it's not funny to say it, but it happens to be how I feel. I mean, people can get laughs for taking things down.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you suck, and we suck. No, I'm sorry. It's not how I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel joy right now.
Yeah. Are you? Can I ask you about this regret that you may not know about? When we first walked in, David said, "Ah, I overdressed."
No.
Do you feel like you've overdressed now?
Now I feel fine.
Yeah.
Try wearing
a
sweater.
You know what's one regret I feel a little bit, actually?
What?
I don't know if I enough really explained the incredible reviews that our movie Gail Daughtry and the Celebrity Sex Pass has gotten.
It's getting incredible reviews.
Not just critics, but like audiences of all different types are having this like amazing experience going and laughing so hard, like more than they have in years, they keep saying. And I feel like I didn't underline that enough or explain that. If you go to GailDaughtry.com, you can get tickets for wherever it's nearby you to see it.
Yeah, they say that basically the second leading cause of diarrhea is people laughing too hard at this movie.
Yeah.
Right now. And it would be in first, but for this unusual parasitic year.
Yeah.
It would have actually been diarrhea number one. Okay. And that's our show. Thank you so much, Rachel Harris, David Wayne, and Joe LaTrulio. There are 111 days until the midterms. We'll be back Friday with Des Bishop and Carmen Christopher. Have a great night. Love It or Leave It is a Crooked Media production. Our show is produced by Kendra James, Bill McGrath, Kelsey Gante, and me, John Lovett. Our production team includes Hallie Keeper, Sarah Lazarus, Raman Borsellino, Peter Miller, David Tolles, Claudia Shang, Jay Banks, Gavin Purcell, and Matt DeGroat. And our staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.
Question. Are you politically engaged and spiritually exhausted?
If you said yes to both, welcome home. I'm Erin Ryan.
And I'm Alyssa Mastromonaco.
And we're the hosts of Hysteria, the podcast for women who care about democracy, culture, and not losing their minds in the process.
We break down the news, call out the nonsense, and spotlight the women actually fighting back on Capitol Hill, in classrooms, and everywhere the stakes are high.
It's sharp, honest analysis featuring women's voices with humor and zero hand-holding.
Listen to Hysteria wherever you get your podcasts and watch full episodes on YouTube.